Good morning. Thank you for coming. Today I'm going to be speaking about some preliminary results about a project done in Argentina about characterizing the site-specific response function for maize in Argentina. Just to give you a little bit of background, when we talk about site-specific, we start thinking about adapting our management to different areas within the field and treating the same with the same management the whole field. And to do that, in order to do that, we have two main steps. One is figuring out or defining within my field where are the areas where I'm going to apply in a different management or different inputs. And the second step is basically defining or diagnosing a recommendation for that particular management area. So basically we are targeting to answer those questions. Where I have to apply different management and what is going to be my recommendation? With a final goal, with the goal of applying an optimum of that particular input in every part of the field. However, we have a challenge that many countries are facing right now. The precision agriculture has been based mostly in technology rather than data and science that can support recommendations that can be more site-specific. And this is particularly true from Argentina, where it has a lot of potential. If you take a look closely to the map on the bottom, there is a lot of heterogeneity in the soils. So it will be intuitive to think that a more precise application or variable rate prescription of nitrogen will generate some benefits. And if we look closely to the variability within fields in yields, we have a variability of 7 to 14 tons of corn within fields, that is roughly between 150 to 200 bushels or above. And for soybean, the same situation. If we look at some of the parameters for texture, organic matter, we are facing the same situation. Within fields, we have variability from 45% of sand content to 85%, and the same with organic matter. The second issue that we have is that at local and also at national level, we are under-fertilized or using an amount of nitrogen that, for sure, those yields are indicated that could be lower or insufficient. And the second point is that nitrogen recommendations or recommendations done in Argentina are mostly based on nitrogen tests. And as you can see in the graph at the bottom right, we have the yield response to nitrogen can be very, very variable. So basically, the main goal of this project was to characterize the spatial and temporal variability of the economic optimum nitrogen rate in Pampas region, more specifically northwest of Buenos Aires, and then also quantify the economic impact of applying at the ENR compared to the soil-based nitrogen recommendations from that particular area. Third was identifying some potential factors that can affect the variability within fields in the yield response to nitrogen. And lastly, determine if by identifying contrasting zones based on electrical conductivity and elevation could be enough to determine variability in optimum nitrogen rate. So jumping into the methodology, we ran over 5 years of experimentation, 52 in nitrogen trials located in contrasting management zones based on electrical conductivity, elevation, and soil depth. For each of the trials, we have 7 nitrogen rates from 0 to 250 in a randomized complete block designs with 3 replications. And in those locations, we were able to, with high precision elevation maps, to derive other terrain properties that are shown to be affecting the economic optimum nitrogen rate, such as slow curvature or a specific catchment area of flow of water. And also we record weather data in each of those farms. Along with that data, in every trial, we record soil physics and chemical measurements, like for example, organic matter, texture, water content, but also limitations in the soil profile, water table, and after we record that data, the yield response will fit it with a regression model to derive the economic optimum nitrogen rate and also the yield at the economic optimum. So briefly, I'm gonna present some preliminary results of the data, but in order to make sense, we need to specify how were the seasons during this project. So here I'm showing a graph with a summary of the distribution of precipitations during the 5 years of experimentation. And you can see the number in black is the total amount of rain that we have during that particular year. But since the growing season in Argentina goes from September and getting to the next following year, in red I'm showing the actual value for the growing season of that particular crop. And to summarize it and make it easy for you to understand, I also look at the particular events happen at the beginning of the season, from planting to flowering, R1, and around the critical period. And based on those events of rain, which is the first number, and then the amount of millimeters that we had, I classify the years of experimentations by year one being a very wet year, above the historical average. The second two and third were very dry, with a small difference in the second year when we didn't have, before planting, enough water compared to the third year. And then fourth and five, I call it wet, but could be around the average, 900 millimeters in the growing season. So keeping that in mind, I'm here, I'm not trying to look at specifically all the response curves, but here I'm showing all the feedings and a summary of the minimum yield, maximum yields at the economic optimum nitrogen rate for the 5 years. And as we can see, like in very, very wet years, we have minimum yields that were the lowest. They go from like 3 to 9 tons. And maximum yields that were not as high as at other years, we can like telling us something about limitations in the soil or the nitrogen. And the economic optimum nitrogen rate for that particular year, the baseline was around 115 kilograms of nitrogen, which is already telling us something that the average or local nitrogen rate that we are using in our area is above what we need to apply. And here I'm showing a summary of the ENR across all the 51 sites. The average across this site was 113, again showing us that probably we are under applying fertilizer. And as a summary, in 90% of the site-specific economic optimum nitrogen rate, we were either above or below. And this is an indication that probably using an average recommendation for this particular location won't be the best choice. Looking at the yield at the economic optimum nitrogen rate across all the sites, we can see that there's a huge potential to improve the yields if we fertilize at the economic optimum nitrogen rate. The average yield across all 51 sites was a little bit below 200 bushels, but we can see like in wet years, which goes from ID 1 to 10, most of the sites, no matter what is the variability or territory or generally in the soil properties, we have really high yields. So now I'm going to compare what is the difference in the economic optimum nitrogen rate when we base our recommendation on the nitrogen test. So here what I'm showing is the difference in the nitrogen rate, so the observed minus what was recommended based on how much nitrogen was in the soil from 0 to 60 centimeters. Positive bars at the top, they are showing under-fertilization. Bars in the lower panel are showing that we are over-fertilizing. And different colors are indicating different landscape positions. So what we can see is like the first set of observation from 1 to 10, those represent the very wet year. In those type of years, what we can see is that there is no variability within the landscape positions. In all cases, we will be under fertilizer based on the soil nitrogen test. If we move further in the other seasons, the second and the third, indicated with the errors, we can see that we start seeing variability among management zones and landscape positions. So there, we need to take into account those properties in order to adjust our nitrogen rate. So overall, in 60% of the sites years, we were underestimating the amount of nitrogen rate based on our soil nitrogen test. And looking at the economic impact, here the 1 to 10 ID at the bottom and the ENR return, the difference between fertilizing at the economic optimum nitrogen rate was really impacting in a wet year. So we can see all these bars, they are almost about $300 of profit that we are losing by fertilizing based on only the nitrogen test. And this is particularly correct for the food slope, which are the very high high-yielding areas. And of course, as we move into more drier years that are those IDs, we start seeing more variability among environments. So now looking into some of the soil properties that we looked at to explain why we are getting this variability in the UNR. So here what I'm showing is the categorization run through a cluster classification and UNR as a function of different categories that explain the whole variability in the data set. So for 2012 and 13, which is the top panel, what it's showing is that very wet conditions are not expressing difference in the soil texture or the soil organic matter. But once we move into more dry years, like 13 and 14 and 14 and 15, we start seeing that organic matter is able to capture difference in economic optimum nitrogen rate. However, and this is something that is interesting for people that only base recommendations of nitrogen in one static variable, like soil organic matter, that in 13-14, because the previous year, 12-13, stopped raining at the end of the season, we have the sites where had less than 2% of organic matter, they did not respond to nitrogen. However, if we look at the 14-15, where we also have areas that had less than 2% of organic matter, they were able to respond to nitrogen and the UNR was really high. And actually, if you see, the patterns are opposite. So we have higher UNR for those areas that have low percent of organic matter. So this is telling us, and we expect, and I have been running some preliminary analysis on this, that probably those sandy soils or with lower organic content, it will depend on the position of the landscape. They might be receiving more water, and that is explaining part of our response. So we also tried to characterize the site by sand content, and we found similar things, that sand content by itself was not enough to characterize the UNR response. Looking at the electrical conductivity, this is a measure that the measurement that incorporates organic matter and sand content. We also, I just want to point it out here, that the patterns change according to the weather scenario that we have. So this is a clear message that we need to incorporate dynamic measurements in order to be able to use these kind of tools to make nitrogen recommendations. And I want to jump into the summary conclusions. So we were able to see that crop nitrogen response varied temporally and especially in the northwest region of Buenos Aires, having a very high impact in both sides, the economic and the productive. In 75% of the cases, the nitrogen soil test was not enough to capture variability in the optimum nitrogen rate within the fields and across management zones and having a very high economic impact. On the other hand, organic matter, sand content, and electrical conductivity were shown to capture some of the variability in the UNR, but however, we are still thinking that dynamic factors we need to incorporate in a decision support tool to make better nitrogen recommendations. And lastly, we were able to identify that electrical conductivity at level elevation were enough to capture or delineate the management zones that would respond differently to nitrogen. But also we believe that general recommendations that only target one factor will be not enough to capture the temporal viability in the UNR. And lastly, I recognize that based on all the temporal and spatial variability that we found in this research, more local and on-farm experimentation is fundamental to improve site-specific nitrogen recommendations. And with that, I will be glad to take any questions. Thank you. Yes, there are 2 years, so 13-14 and 16-17 were exactly the same land positions. But it's a matter of crop rotation, so it's pretty hard to get back in this time frame to the same site. So that's why we base the classification of the sites on organic matter, texture, etc. Thank you. Thank you.